Welcome to Horns Up. I'm Animesh.
And I'm Peter.
And today we are dialing the heavy back to chat about an album that as such doesn't have a name. My introduction to it was, it's the album with Stairway to Heaven on it.
Yes, we're talking about the fourth album by Led Zeppelin. Some call it four, some call him IV. I mean, if you're into the Roman numerals, some call it runes, some call it Zoso. I just call it, you know, I think also the one with Stairway to Heaven, because that's how everyone was introduced to the album, right?
I don't know about everyone, but that's like the popular story, right? But why are we talking about this album today? Well, that's because I'm a sucker for birthdays and anniversaries. And this album turned 50 years old on 8 November 2021. 50 years old. Damn, how cool is that? We're getting a lot of 50s this year, no?
Yeah, and it just tells, right? Because a lot of these bands, just like Led Zeppelin, cross generations, right? I mean, my parents, my mother used to listen to Led Zeppelin. Now I do. And maybe once my son is a little older, maybe he'll also be like, hey, Dad, what's that song with that ridiculously long solo?
You'll be like, oh, you're talking about Dream Theater.
No. Oh, yeah, that also is there. I forgot.
Okay,
about
so
that.
What really can be said about an album that's 50 years old, especially one that's considered a must-have for anyone who says they love music, especially rock and roll or hard rock or even heavy metal? It's by far one of the best-selling albums in the world, and a regular on lists of the greatest albums of all times. Maybe, perhaps, even the most famous hard rock album ever recorded.
Well, we can't really add a lot to the facts and figures because there's so much information already about it on the internet. So as usual, we're left with our experiences and our opinions.
So let's get down to this chat, because when I first suggested this topic, it wasn't an easy topic that both of us kind of agreed on, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be honest here. Considering the amount of music I listen to now, am I specifically a Led Zeppelin fan? No, not really, to be honest. What about you?
Well, I've always been on the brink of being a Led Zeppelin fan. I mean, I would think that I am a Led Zeppelin fan as such. I mean, I've heard most of the albums by now. Of course, I was introduced to Stairway to Heaven, like, just as I was getting into rock and metal, and I was told that that's the greatest song ever to be written by humankind. And
see that's the thing, right, about an album like this, is you've got, it comes with so much of a legacy and there's so much of a hype, right? So you're like, oh my God, I'm going to hear this. And then you hear, like, especially after you listen to a lot of, like, say, extreme metal and all of that, you're like, wait, really? That's what I'm talking about. When it comes with all that hype, right?
Really? Yeah. No, man. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I mean, okay.
This is what? Coming from someone who actually watched Robert Plant live. Huh?
Yeah. Brag on. That's okay. Wait, let's... Here's the question. What came first to you as a listener? Stairway to Heaven or Led Zeppelin for the album?
Stairway to Heaven. No, no.
Okay. And when were you introduced to Stairway to Heaven?
I'd say around the same time that I started listening to, like, hard rock. Like, it was Guns N' Roses, Red Hot Chili Peppers, all of that. And then, you know, just like someone told you that, oh my God, you have to hear this song. And then you'd have, like, you know, someone who I constantly bring up on the podcast, but my friend Neeskins, like, he was a nerd. Like, he had done that whole thing where, and I have to take a moment for this, he went into the whole thing of how Guns N' Roses was basically aping Led Zeppelin. And if you think about it, like, you know, with the guitar slash playing the double neck guitar, you got Axl. So a lot of that. And I was just like, so, you know, you get into all that kind of fandom, right? Where you're getting into the songs, the similarity and all of that. And that's what I would say. I mean, like, for me, And I think I mentioned this to you, like the only reason I bought the four on a CD was because it was really cheap on Amazon, and I was like, hey, why not, right? Like, this is something I definitely kind of casually listen to.
So that's where I'm coming from. Is Stairway to Heaven the one with the legend and the one with the hype and not Led Zeppelin 4?
Go on, I know you're going somewhere with this.
I'm not going anywhere with this. It's a very simple question. Does Stairway, if there was no Stairway to Heaven on Led Zeppelin 4, would you still have bought it?
I mean, I own other Led Zeppelin CDs also. So it's not about just four. I mean, I own one and two also because I got it for cheap. But I have an interesting story about the album, right? And it has to do with Black Dog. So
Okay.
Rhythm House, I don't know which year this was, but I very distinct. No, wait. So yeah, this was 2001 when I was down on my holiday from Abu Dhabi, and my parents had given me some like pocket money to buy cassettes and things. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Rhythm House only where I went and I bought this cassette. Now the thing is, this is still in the early days, right, where I didn't kind of understand buying music and all. So this was a compilation CD, and it just said, you know, all these names, and I was like, okay, bought this cassette. Went and I played it, and I'm like, there's something off about this. This doesn't sound like these bands. And the first track, which I'll never forget, was Black Dog. It was actually an album, basically, which was covers. So later below, it was like inspired by these artists. So, like, I'll never forget, like, I've heard probably, and you know, because I didn't have much money back then to go buy more cassettes, I've heard, like, I think initially a covered version of Black Dog more than I've actually heard the original.
Was that your first time listening to Black Dog as such?
Yeah, that's a thing,
Did
right? Like,
the original Black Dog? Did it live up to what your perceived expectations were now? I mean, what your
anything,
perceived reality was.
of course, dude, anything was better than those covers. And I don't even remember who like recorded it, though. I don't think remember the credits and all, but I think it's one of those cassettes that, you know, play in like, you know, cafes and places like that where, you know, you don't license out properly the music. It was one of those cassettes that just play, or
Oh,
CDs that play
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, going back to the Stairway to Heaven on Led Zeppelin 4 issue or topic or whatever, right? If this song, and this is actually an interesting question that has just been birthed now, and I'd love to know what anybody who listens to this podcast as such, besides the two of us, has to say about it. If there was no Stairway to Heaven on Led Zeppelin 4, would Led Zeppelin 4 still be as good of an album as it's considered to be? That's a dicey fucking question, isn't it?
And the thing is, it's a very like thin line, right? Like, either you're on this side or you're on that side. You can't be like in the middle.
Okay, here's the thing, right? What's your go-to track from the album today? Like, after having. Like after so many years of experience of just listening to so much different music and so much of extreme music and so much of heavy metal, etc., what's your go-to track from the album these days?
It's two. I can't do one,
Which one?
and two for like very distinct reasons, right? I mean, like, rock and roll is one because you want to get that pumped up kind of thing. But if you just want to like zone out, space out kind of do thing, I'd say Battle of Evermore. And it's so well placed on the album also, right? And like, it wasn't just a coincidence that both those tracks happened to be there. But those are two picks. What's yours?
For me, it's When the Levee Breaks.
Okay, go ahead. I wasn't
No, it's
expecting
just
that.
that's just the thing, right? Like if you're talking atmosphere and you're talking zoning out, etc., When the Levee Breaks is a fucking awesome song to just put on and zone out to because It's so bloody well made and it's so uniquely produced. And who would have thought that this would have been possible in 1971, right? For that kind of a song and that kind of a production to have ever been created, all the experimentation. Of course, everybody knows the story about how the drums were recorded, et cetera, and how much echo, et cetera, has been added onto it later. But damn, that's a beautiful song. And I think even as a single, I listen to more of When the Levee Breaks, or I choose to play that song more than I do Stairway to Heaven. But is that because we've heard Stairway to Heaven so many times that it's just like one of the things that you begin to take for granted. I mean,
Okay, so here's a question for you, because you're the musician from the two of us. Did you learn Stairway to Heaven as one of the songs on the guitar when you were starting out?
of course I did. Of course I did. I mean, when you as a musician who is self-taught and who relied on the power of Guitar Pro and tabs to teach himself, obviously you try to learn Stairway to Heaven. It's just one of the things you do to challenge yourself to see if you can play the what's that riff called? The forbidden, yeah. To
Ah,
see
the
if you
try.
can play the forbidden riff, although I've never played Stairway to Heaven at a guitar shop while trying out a guitar. I've never done that. I've always wanted to know if somebody would have actually done that, and they would have been pointed to a sign that says you can't play the forbidden riff, right? Thanks, Wayne's World, for ruining that for each and everybody. But no, honestly, never done that. Have tried to play it. Could play it, never tried to play the solo, and
Yeah, so I had a friend in school, right, who was this prodigy of sorts, right? He knew how to play the solo note by note. And so, like, literally, what used to happen was when we'd have, like, this is again the same time, right, where we're all discovering these rock or hard rock acts or whatever. We'd have like a spare, or someone would bring an acoustic guitar, and everyone would be like, come on, play, play, play. And all of us who barely could sing would be like, yeah, we can sing, singing out of time. And then we'd just wait for that moment where he'd play the solo, and everyone would be like, oh man, this is too cool. So it just like brings me back to those days. That's one of the things about like Stairway to Heaven. You can go back to your, I guess, like early college days and things like that, right? It just takes you back. It's one of those songs, right? And I think I've spoken about this before. Channel V used to have Artist of the Month.
Yeah.
So I very distinctly remember, because this was Page and Plant had kind of split up and they were doing their own thing. And they were constantly on TV. I don't know what is the album that they were promoting in there. For the life of me then, and I was much younger, I had no idea who this Page and Plant were. I had no idea they were part of Led Zeppelin. I just knew them as Page and Plant, that Channel V were like constantly promoting. I think it was an Unplugged album, I can't remember. But it's crazy, right, how like television and just mass media kind of influences you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I remember it was very weird, but it was great that, Channel V at that time would play Zeppelin songs, even in like early in the morning and stuff. And I remember once, I distinctly remember this. It was pretty early in the morning, I think before 7 a.m. And somehow Stairway to Heaven, the music video, was on TV. And I remember watching TV because I was having breakfast and getting ready for, I guess, junior college or college, I don't know, one of the two. And I increased the volume, and of course it's like bloody AM. And my mom comes in and she's like, "Why are you increasing this volume?" And I'm like, "That's Led Zeppelin. He's supposed to be the world's best vocalist, and that guy is supposed to be the world's best guitarist. Have you ever heard this song?" And my mom is like, "No, I haven't. What is this? song.
So did it now I have to fast forward you the story. Did it get the mom approval?
I don't honestly remember. I think she was distracted because she had a lot of other things to do. So she didn't really pay attention, but she could see me enjoying it. So I'm guessing it got the mom's approval just on that. Like, hey, if it's distracting you enough, and if or if you seem to be enjoying it so much, then yeah, it's clearly worth something, and I'll support it no matter what.
So I have coincidentally a great mom story when it comes to Stairway to Heaven. So I think this was 6 months, a year later, after I first heard Stairway to Heaven and my whole thing with the cover cassette, right? Because I was really disappointed. So I wanted like a mix CD with the song and also I had my little boom box. I was playing the song and there, and this is, I didn't have headphones, I think. Yeah, so it was the boom box I was turning up, and then you have the opening intro going in, and then suddenly it starts. And my mom's like, "What are you listening to?" So I was like, "Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven," just like how you said, right? My mom's like, "What? You'll still listen to this music?" So I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "This is music from our time." And I was like, "Yeah, see, that's cool, right? Both of us can listen." So then I like turned it up, and she's like, "Yeah, but don't be like these guys, huh?" Like, I think that's like the most Indian mom thing, but yeah, like,
It's an Indian mom thing. I mean, come on, when you're looking at that, those kind of visuals on TV or whatever,
oh
all
no,
the
so
culture associated, the
yeah.
culture associated with those songs. Yeah. it's not only an Indian thing.
And that's another thing actually, to bring up is the whole Led Zeppelin India connection, right? Because I mean, come on, that's one of those things which honestly, until Siddharth Bhatia wrote the book and documented it in there, it was the stuff of urban legends.
Oh,
Because
definitely.
if you know anybody in Bombay above, let's say what, 50 something at least, they all swore that they were at Slip Disc when Led Zeppelin performed in Bombay. Let's be
Not Led
honest.
Zeppelin, mind you,
Sorry, not
Led Zeppelin. The
I stand
band never
corrected.
played here.
Yeah, I stand corrected. It was Page and Plant, but because I heard it through a friend, this story, and he was like, yeah, my uncle told me about it. And I was like, okay, cool. And this is, the early days of the internet, so you can't really look this stuff up. And also, you're like, yeah, of course, they had come. And then I think on YouTube, much later, I mean, it was recently, they put up like some grainy footage that was the
Yeah.
archives. And then, of course, Siddharth Bhatia wrote about it in his book, Psychedelic India. But it's one of those things, right? Like everyone, you will say, like, yeah, I was there. But if you think about it, I don't think more than like 100 people were at that gig
Yeah,
or even at that gig.
this story and the story about the police playing Rang Bhavan are the two stories that if you know them, that means you're part of Bombay's rock scene
Yeah,
because you've
yeah,
been told this story.
this
Right?
is
And if you
past.
don't know about this story, then I'm sorry, you're not in Bombay's rock scene, no matter how much you listen to the music or play in a band.
But well, if you've heard this for the first time, then now Animesh and I have initiated you into it in some way.
Okay, so all this talk only about Stairway to Heaven, but as both of us picked our songs, there are seven other songs on Led Zeppelin 4, right? And let's not like shun them or anything of that sort. Here's a question. How does this album hold up 50 years later? I mean, obviously for us, we are not listening to it for 50 years, but since the first time we heard it till today, how does it hold up as an album to you?
I'd say, I mean, for me, at least it's a lot of nostalgia value, right? I'm not going to kid anyone and say that, I listen to it once a week, once a month. But it's for me, it's when I put it on or when I come across the album, it just brings back a lot of memories. Like the story about like my mom, I haven't like thought about it or told anyone the story for ages, but it just brings back those memories, right? And growing up when you just had like one cassette or one CD and you repeatedly listen to. So it just like, it's a good nostalgia thing. But having said that, it's also a great way to kind of introduce people to like rock, right? So like, say if today I had to make a playlist, which is today's equivalent of, I mean, the equivalent of making a mix CD like I got, then definitely one of these songs you want to show people like the progression, right? Of over the years, how hard rock and what eventually became metal, because let's not kid ourselves, like everyone who is like as true and cult or whatever has heard a lot of these music, or their parents have heard this music and that's kind of been influential in there. I mean, you cannot deny the influence of Jimmy Page, right? And having said
you
that,
you can't deny the influence of Led Zeppelin as a band, man.
Yeah. Like even, I mean, John Bonham, like the guy could fucking hit. Like when I'm just listening and thinking about, like, you know, imagine being at a gig, just blow your, I mean, I did say it, but like watching Robert Plant was kind of cool, because when I watched them at Dubai Desert Rock in 2007, this was the day after I watched Iron Maiden. So can you imagine? Like, it was just like mind blowing. And at the same time, it's bands like this, or even artists like this, that, you know, you have generations come together and listen. And for me, that's the beauty of such music, right? That it's something
timeless.
That, yeah, it's timeless.
It's become timeless. It's become legendary. It's become a must listen for anybody who's got a pair of ears.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, it, for me, that holds more than, you know, anything else, I would say. The fact that all of this happens, definitely. What about you? What do you think, Karmesh?
As I said, I think it's one of the, it's an album which, unfortunately, or fortunately for that matter, is the equivalent of Metallica's Black. And by that I mean, it's the album that will get the most attention from any non-hardcore Led Zeppelin fan. It'll get the attention from anybody who's looking to get into Led Zeppelin. It'll get the attention from anybody who's looking to get into hard rock or just rock music in general, right? It's required listening, and that's because it's got a fabulous collection of 8 songs, and one of those 8 songs happens to be the most famous rock song, well, perhaps one of the most famous rock songs ever to be written, right?
I mean, like, I can imagine this being like one of those initiation in college, right? Like, you don't listen to rock or metal, like, hey, here, listen to this, right? That's what it ends up being.
Exactly. Yeah, this and Pink Floyd, especially if you go to an IIT college or an engineering college.
Oh my god, I'm glad
one is served with hallucinogens and the other is served with alcohol. You pick.
And that's actually, I'm glad you brought up 2 points. I'm gonna make the first one being when you sent me the message saying that, hey, let's do this album, I'm like, is Animesh gonna mention Pink Floyd somewhere down the line? Like, hey Peter, we should definitely talk about this album. But the second part, what you said, right, about the alcohol, it's strange. And as somebody who doesn't partake in all of this, tell me,
neither
like,
do I.
No, I'm talking about you. Oh, I was okay. Referring to you. Is that, you know, there's so much, like, it's one of those phases, or like when we used to have parties, which now only unfortunately still happen over Zoom to some extent, is you'd always go, and I've been at multiple parties where you'd have the guys who, you'd look at them and never think they listen to rock or metal, but like post midnight or towards around that time, once like the number of drinks around, suddenly the playlist changes to a lot of these songs, including Stairway to Heaven.
Including Stairway to Heaven, including Black Dog, including Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
And when it's about time for everybody to leave, that's when somebody will put on Going to California.
It's like,
when
right.
They become like, when finally they don't need anybody else and they just want to reminisce.
Yeah.
Going to California is a fucking awesome song. I remember being so excited when I heard it on that 70s show.
Oh yeah, and that was also cool,
it was perfect,
right?
Placement, man.
Yeah,
think it was
yeah.
that fourth season where each and every song where each and every episode title of that 70s show was basically a Led Zeppelin song title.
And that's cool, right? Because can you, I'm just trying to think of somebody who's never heard of Led Zeppelin now discovering it through this TV show and then going either on the going on the internet or I guess LimeWire or Kazaa at that time and just like, okay, who's this band? Let me listen to this because this is cool.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Okay. Was Led Zeppelin IV the first Led Zeppelin album experience for you?
No. No,
Which one was?
it's too hard. I can't for the life of me remember a full because I never. So the thing is with Led Zeppelin, I kind of heard the hits, right? And
Yeah, I
then
mean
I.
it's become one of the bands where you hear the hits before you actually dive into the album. I mean, I think you can safely say that Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath are both at that same level where you hear all the hits first and then only do you actually go and start listening to the albums.
I think I'd have to say if you really have to drive my memory is probably I bought the CD, so I probably went like chronologically. So I went like, I mean, the whole discography. I started off with one, two, three, and then kind of bought four in there or whatever was available on Amazon. Because for the longest time, I was just like CD listening, right? It's only been like the last few years that I've actually switched to streaming. So I'd say like one was the album that I had picked up first on like
Well,
and heard
yeah.
full.
Four for me was the first Led Zepp album that I could actually listen through from song one till the song eight, which is song end. Yeah, from beginning to end, essentially, because I first tried out Led Zepp 2 and it lost me after song five or six. Yeah, it did. Then I tried out, I think, Physical Graffiti, and that lost me too. Then I tried out Led Zeppelin 4 and I was like, huh, okay, these are the hits. You can't go wrong with this album. And plus it has When the Levee Breaks at the end. So yeah, I was waiting for that song to come in. So for me, as my first like album experience, I would say that Led Zeppelin 4 is my first Led Zepp album experience from beginning to end, and it holds up as a lovely album, man. I mean, Side A is really pumpy until you get to the Battle of MMO, which gets into, as you rightly said, it gets into a complete zone out territory and it flows perfectly into Stairway to Heaven, which then leaves you wanting more, and then you pop in Side B and it just continues. Yeah, I mean, apart from Four Sticks, which to date, I think is the most unlistenable Led Zeppelin song. But at the same time, don't get me wrong, it's such a fabulous song because you wanna it's the it's the most like Stairway to Heaven has lyrical storytelling and all of that jazz attributed to it, right? But if you really wanna dissect songwriting and if you really wanna get into just technicality and showmanship, etc., then Four Sticks is the song to analyze. That song is always tougher and much more deserving of analysis and just chatter as such and dissection as such than any of the other songs on this album.
So, I mean, see, and one of the things I was just thinking, right, is all of this music that they've released that we're talking about is in a matter of the span of like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, 3 to 4, actually, no?
Yeah. And it's crazy because like when you put it in today's reality, no one's kind of doing that, right? Like no one's that prolific, no one's kind of releasing and the
No one's
way that
releasing. I mean, I guess people are releasing singles, but nobody's releasing like bodies of work or albums which manage to keep churning out hits over and over and over again.
yeah, and you think about it that it's not that they were just releasing the music, right? And they were just a studio band, but they were also touring live
Exactly.
along with it. So, wow, it just blows my mind. I just kind of came to my mind this, and I mean, we talk about like you know the first album's the you know experiment. You've got the second album, and this is like in a span of I think 2 or 3 years, they've released their fourth album. So just the growth they've had playing live in there. And like sometimes I just wonder, because again, just because I heard some of the songs live, what would it be like just to hear like all four of them in their peak? I think I'd lose my hearing. I mean, I heard Motorhead and I had that feeling. So
Would have been a complete head rush, man. And to think, like, the purpose of these songs and the purpose of this album was also in some manner. Obviously, this is like, this is what we've read up and what we've been told over the years. Like, the purpose of Led Zeppelin 4 was essentially as a huge fuck you to critics and who basically said that Led Zeppelin was nothing but hype. Right, and which is why they released or they chose to release a body of work which was never marketed like in the normal way an album would be marketed. There's no there's the album doesn't have a name, the album doesn't have strong artwork or anything of that sort. It's got the four symbols or the runes on it, that's about it. And so, like, the point that the band is trying to make here is, hey man, if you want to judge us, you judge us purely by the music. And to serve up this kind of music, that's such a huge, 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 bold fuck you to anybody who had any criticism about this band, any negative criticism about this band at that time.
And think about it, right? 50 years later, like the song that everyone like listens to the most and tries to learn is a almost 8 minute song, which like who would have thought at that time like an 8 minute song would even work, right? Because this is still radio days, 3 minute tracks in there.
And they never chose to release it as a single.
Exactly.
Like,
So I don't think it gets like more fuck you than this, really. It's just like, guys, and I think in a way, okay, so here's where I'm coming from also. And there's a huge kind of talk, right, where you have bands, and I think, like, correct me if I'm wrong, my memory is fuzzy at this point, but you had Sam Dunn did the whole thing, right? Like you had proto metal and, early metal and things like that. Now let's like zoom out from this album. Considering all that we know, do you think Led Zeppelin come under that category?
well, there definitely is a certain section of fans or just music listeners as such who call this album, this specific album, an album that unintentionally created metal, right? There's a very famous quote by Spin Magazine's Chuck Klosterman, which says that Led Zeppelin 4 is the origin of everything that sounds, feels, or even tastes vaguely metallic, right? And if you give me Led Zeppelin 4 and then you give me a glam rock band, I'll definitely see the progression, right? I can definitely see that, yes, one is the root and the other is the offshoot of the root, or like part of the tree that the root gave birth to. Does it lead into extreme metal? Yes, I can see. I mean, if you go back and if you start tracing your ancestry, etc., your great 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 grandfather, etc., did play a role, right? If they wouldn't have been there, you wouldn't have been here, right?
Okay, fair
So
enough.
that is my analogy as such. Did Led Zepp push the boundaries of what was heavy? They definitely did. Did the individual instruments push the boundaries of the capabilities of the instruments? Yes, they definitely did. Was the singing something that influenced the whole generation of singers and continues to do so? Obviously. Do all of these songs and hence the whole album, does it still continue to influence anybody who's getting into this kind of music? To some degree, yes, even though it may not be a direct influence, the very fact that you have to have heard these songs, it gives you a great benchmark of what you want to try and live up to, right? In terms of writing songs that will stand the test of time. So I'll agree with that notion, man. Definitely proto metal for sure. Why not? If Blue Cheer was considered proto metal, then Led Zeppelin is definitely proto metal. Definitely more proto metal than Deep Purple. And yeah, fight me on that.
I knew this was going to come up because and if Riju's listening, yes, Riju, we did have this conversation about Deep Purple being metal or not now. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, you've said it far more eloquently than me. But the way I look at it is very simple, and I'm bringing back the example of Guns N' Roses, right? And just think about all the musicians. I mean, just think about, like, now everyone talks about like seven strings and oh my God, this and that. Dude, fucking Jimmy Page was playing 12 strings. Like all of you guys still are playing far less strings than I think about it. And a lot of the experimentation and the reason why I asked you the question, right? Like, just attitude wise, you guys are far more metal than anyone else. I mean, far more metal than a lot of the metal bands right now. And I'm going to say that, sticking my neck out, because just the very fact that you said they didn't give a fuck, they didn't want to kind of fit into a certain box, didn't want to do anything, and they did what they wanted. And for me, it's that metal attitude, right? That Led Zeppelin has. And just look at the songs. I mean, we were talking. I mean, here everyone's like, oh my God. And they didn't follow trends. That's one more thing I want to add. I mean, like today you have this whole discussion, right? I mean, we are sitting in November 2021 where Korn is releasing a new single and people are like, oh my God, new metal is back and things like that. But guys, come on, like it wasn't about like trends coming back or following trends, right? I mean, these guys absolutely didn't give a fuck. They did what they want. And they played music on their terms. There was nobody like dictating things to them.
Perfectly said. And on that note, I think let's call it a wrap. Go back and listen to some more Led Zeppelin, whoever you are, wherever you are. Do that. It's a good way to honor them, especially in this week. Because, hey, we all know that Led Zeppelin 4 deserves a re-listen. Why not?
I'm going to queue up the Battle of MMO, considering the time we're recording this episode.
Did you listen to Led Zeppelin this week? Let us know. As always, you can write to us at hornsuppod.com or catch us on Twitter at hornsuppod. I'm on Twitter at asmoani.
I'm at Trend Crusher. If you think Led Zeppelin is more metal than current bands, agree, disagree, let me know.
This has been Horns Up.
Horns up, guys.